Good morning, everybody, and welcome back. I've gotten some feedback about how the episodes have been ending and the chapter breaks inside of the episodes, making it rather confusing for the listener. So, we're going to try something that I attempted on the podcast for Drizzt and didn't get the best results, but I think it might work better here. I'm going to add in a sound effect when there is a chapter transition going from one aspect to another, and then I'm going to try another sound effect at the end of the episode. Very subtle, and it won't overpower the episode, but I would like to hear your feedback. So, we'll give that a shot, throw those in for testing today, and if you guys all like that, then we will continue to use them as we finish out the book. Now, let's not delay. On with the book. Chapter 3. Rain, Fights, and Mistrust. By the time they got to the forest, it was raining hard and pitch black. The group had been intending to spend the night in the inn. After the attack, however, the inn didn't seem anywhere near as safe as the woods. Talmer and Caelith had to guide Damien through the trees, since he was the only one who couldn't see in the dark. To the rest of the group, who could see, although not well, the forest appeared in shades of black and gray, as if it were dimly lit. It seemed like Beodin and Varun had the best night vision overall, besides Zvala. To the Dúmerin, who had almost perfect vision in the dark, everything appeared more gray-tinted and a bit dimmer than in the daytime, but she could see clearly. The forest wasn't exceedingly overgrown, but there were plenty of fallen branches and bushes to serve as tripping hazards for Damien. Even with the elves guiding him, the night-blind human managed to nearly fall several times and step on Varun's tail twice as he nearly bumped into the Thrakai. This earned him a not-too-happy look both times. After half-leading, half-dragging the hapless human through the brush for nearly 3 miles, the group decided to make camp in a clearing under one of the huge oaks. Talmer and Caelith quickly found some fallen wood and, although it was wet, tried to start a fire. Talmer fussed with the wood for nearly 10 minutes before he gave up and handed the tinderbox to Damien. The box was passed from hand to hand for close to half an hour, but no one had any luck with the damp wood. The group was quickly becoming more tired and frustrated as it got colder and the wind picked up, and the wood still refused to light. Varun tried to breathe fire on it, which did light it, but the rain put it out quickly. He tried it again, putting a bit more power into the attempt, but the same thing happened. On the third try, he wound up turning the kindling to ash as he lost control of the flame. "Good job, fire hazard," Damien quipped, giving Varun a thumbs up as the warrior headed into the forest, hoping to find something drier. He ignored the comment. About 10 minutes passed. Caelith and Damien busied themselves with checking their supplies by lantern light. Vala leaned against the tree, running her fingers through her wet hair. She offered to help, hoping to gain a better reputation with this group, since she'd have to coexist with them for the foreseeable future. But Caelith wanted nothing to do with her. Tensions grew higher as the temperature continued to drop, and the constant dripping of rain did nothing to help the group's mood. Lightning flashed, lighting up the sky, and was soon followed by a rumble of thunder in the distance. Beodin glared at Talmer, who was perched on the lowest branch of the great oak, hanging an oil lantern that had been too stubborn to light earlier when they needed to find their way through the forest.
"Would be nice to be done with this mission right now," he muttered, talking more to himself than the elf. "If it weren't for your stupid elves and that stupid negotiation, I wouldn't be out here. Last few years would have gone quite different if your people would have just listened without being racist bigots."
"I don't know what you're talking about," Talmer answered, but a subtle shift in his posture made Vala think he was hiding something. He knew what the dwarf was saying, even though he missed the fact the comment wasn't entirely to him. He just wanted to avoid talking about it.
"You know what I mean, elf. Your father was the one who advised the king to refuse to aid my folk before even hearing us out, which is why I have to do things like this to earn a living."
Vala cocked her head, trying to piece together what exactly this was about.
"Your people crossed our border without permission," Talmer countered. "One of them tried to attack our king when he was attempting to negotiate a solution. I don't know if you can understand what the word diplomacy means, but you and your people could use some practice.
Your king's soldiers drew their weapons first, What did you expect would happen?
We expected that you would cooperate, not murder innocent men. We were attempting to discuss the matter fairly until weapons began flying.
We both know it wasn't me who threw the axe. If you want to talk about how fair the Thalassar were, think again. None of your people would have lifted a finger to help mine.
Talmer's hand strayed towards his knife as he glanced down, but he stayed silent.
Why don't you come down here, and we can sort this out properly?
The elf still gave no response.
Baodin, no,
Caelith warned.
We've had enough trouble with you two already. We don't need you doing something you'll regret.
I know what I'm doing, and I'm not going to regret it.
Baodin placed his hand on his axe and stroked his rust-colored beard. His beady eyes held a malevolent light. Caelith edged towards Damien, who was leaning against a tree, tuning his lute. She elbowed him, drawing his attention to the standoff. Vala guessed that they'd heard this fight, or something similar at least, before.
Come on, elf! The dwarf continued. Get down here and...
Don't do this, Baodin. Someone is going to get hurt.
Talmer warned.
You won't even be able to lay a scratch on me, tree hugger. I dare you to even try.
Talmer rolled his eyes and tugged at a cord he had tied to the tree limb he was sitting on. It seemed secure. The other end was tied onto the oil lantern. He lowered the lamp and let it swing below the branch, then dropped down from the tree, landing gracefully.
Baodin, I don't want this. It's stupid and...
Baodin charged, throwing a strong right hook at the elf who had just put himself within reach. Talmer stepped aside, letting the dwarf fly past, and planted his boot in the dwarf's back, giving him a hard kick.
Fine. I guess we are doing this, the elf commented as Baodin stumbled and fell.
He was up in less than a second, charging at the elf again. Again, Talmer stepped aside. Baodin turned on his heel, glaring up at the elf. The dwarf fainted to one side, looking like he was trying to tackle Talmer, but as the elf pivoted to react, Baodin got off a snap kick that connected with his opponent's shin. Talmer let out a stifled yelp and jumped back, limping slightly. Baodin flung his axe, missing Talmer by less than an inch, which caused him to flinch. As the elf reeled from the impact, Baodin went for a tackle. He hit the elf right in the ribs, knocking him to the ground. Talmer coughed, unable to breathe properly for a moment. Baodin stood over him, pinning Talmer's right hand to the ground with his heavy boot, smirking.
Is that all you got, knife ears?
Baodin taunted. He didn't care that the other elves had taken offense to that as well, but it likely was not the best thing he could have said. Caelith and Vala glared at the dwarf from opposite sides of the clearing. As the dwarf glanced at the other elves, Talmer drew his knife with his free hand, and in one easy, fluid motion, slammed its hilt into the side of Baodin's head to momentarily stun him. He pulled his knees up to his chest and kicked the dwarf as hard as he could. Baodin was knocked back into the trunk of the oak tree and landed hard. He got up slowly, rolling his shoulders and getting back into a combat stance. Talmer rolled onto his stomach and tried to push himself up, but slipped on the slick grass. His cheek hit the back of his knife. The fall gave Baodin enough time to reach him. He knelt over the elf and grabbed a handful of the Thalassar's blonde hair. His rusty brown beard brushed the ground as he bent down to whisper something to Talmer.
Your brother would never be proud of how you turned out.
The elf's green eyes flared. He jerked his head back, head-butting Baodin in the face. There was a sharp crack as he connected. The dwarf stood up sharply, letting go of Talmer's hair, and covered his crooked nose with his hand. Tears filled his dark eyes from the impact. He pulled his hand away from his face as blood began matting his beard. His nose had obviously been broken before, and Talmer had just broken it again. The elf used the couple of seconds he had bought to get to his feet, ready to fend off another attack. Baodin threw a punch, which Talmer brushed aside, but the dwarf was ready. He grabbed Talmer's hand as the wood elf deflected the punch, twisting his arm behind his back, and pulled Talmer back down to a knee. Caelith looked like she wanted to jump into the fray, but Damien held her back. Baodin brought his knee up, catching Talmer in the side. There was a sharp crack, and Talmer grimaced, hissing in pain. Baodin shoved him back down to the ground, blood still dripping from his nose. He stood on the elf's back, placing a boot on the back of Talmer's head and driving his face into the wet grass.
What is this?
Varun had gotten back just in time to see the conclusion of the fight and was far from happy with what he'd seen. He walked over to where Talmer lay pinned, grabbed onto Baedin's armor, and lifted the dwarf off Talmer, dropping him on the ground.
"Do you really have nothing better to do with your time? We need to be a functional team in case our plan fails."
Somehow, the Thrakai didn't sound mad. He wasn't pleased, but he wasn't yelling at them. Vala was a little impressed with the amount of patience the warrior seemed to have.
"He started it," Baedin grumbled.
"It doesn't."
Varun was cut off by a loud thunderclap that made him flinch a little and look up at the sky, worried.
"It doesn't matter what that was about or who started it, but you're acting like children. I know you're both tired and frustrated, but you can't just beat each other up because of it."
The dwarf was going to argue more, but Varun shot him a look that got him to shut up and slink away, rubbing his face where Talmer's knife had hit him. The wood elf had gotten to his feet by this point, keeping a hand pressed over his ribs. His blonde hair was streaked with mud, and he had a thin cut on his cheekbone from where he'd slipped during the fight. A line of blood ran down his face as he stood in front of Varun. Talmer was tall, but he was still a good few inches shorter than the Thrakai. Varun sighed slightly and walked past him, going back to the ashes of the attempted fire. Talmer turned to head back to the tree, but he only got a couple of steps before his knee buckled and he fell. Caliph came over to help him while Vala and Damien went to help Varun with the fire. The wood Varun had brought was drier than what he had accidentally turned to ash, but it stubbornly refused to light. Finally, after nearly a whole flask of oil and a bit of colorful language from Vala, a flame caught, and they soon had a small fire. The group eventually settled down, mostly content to talk amongst themselves for a while, or at least tolerate each other's presence and not start anything else. Slowly, the rain died out.
"Who's going to take the first watch?"
Damien asked, yawning. It had been long enough that the heat of the fire had dried their clothes, and the fire itself was burning low.
"I don't know how none of you seem tired, but I need to sleep."
"I'll take the first shift," Talmer volunteered. "Caliph can join me. We make a pretty good team."
Talmer's gentle smile hinted that there was another reason for being paired with her that went beyond the fact that they worked well together, but Vala said nothing about it.
"I'm all right with that,"
Caliph answered, smiling a bit at Talmer.
"I'm pretty sure you're a bit more than just all right," Damien commented. "You do realize that pointing out you make a good team makes it seem like that's not the reason why you want to be with each other, right?"
"Shut up,"
Kayla swatted at him and missed. Damien laughed, scooting away.
"I can take the midnight watch," Vala offered after a moment. "I lived in the deep caves when I was a child, so the darkness isn't the problem." "I don't care what anyone says. I don't trust her."
Kayla's voice now had a faint, angry edge.
"She's probably just waiting until we go to sleep so she can kill us all easily. Even if she's not working for the group that attacked us, she's given no reason for us to trust her." "I'm not going to kill you."
Vala was used to racist comments and accusations, but she was still slightly offended.
"I haven't done anything to hurt you, and I have no reason to. Why do you keep insisting that I want to?" "You're a Doomerin. It's what you do."
Vala sighed and shifted her position, trying to find a more comfortable spot before replying. As she moved, a necklace she wore fell out of her tunic. She realized that the cord had come untied. She tried to grab it, but Caliph was faster, reaching around Damien and picking it off the ground. She held it up to the light. It was a dragon claw about the size of a finger tied to a thin leather cord.
"Let me guess. This was a trophy from the last person you betrayed and murdered, wasn't it?"
Caliph's voice was harsh and accusing, but hiding pain.
"You can't be trusted. You don't know anything about me,"
Vala retorted, suddenly hurt and angry. Although Caliph didn't know it, the accusation had hit a bit too close to the truth, but not in the way the Moon Elf had claimed.
"You really care that much about a necklace? I'm surprised. I thought your kind didn't care about anything." "Give it back!"
Caliph raised an eyebrow at her.
"Ordering me now, huh?" "I said, give it back!"
Vala's voice went from hurt to deadly in a second, and her eyes began to glow faintly. Their violet light was a dangerous warning.
Now!
Caelith ignored her, dangling the necklace from her fingers.
Caelith, I give it back.
Damien scooted back, not wanting to get caught in the quickly escalating situation. Varun, sensing that another fight was mere seconds from breaking out, sighed and shook his head, done with the group's antics.
Caelith, this isn't helping anything, he said gently. Despite needing to take control of the situation before more problems happened, he still didn't raise his voice. He didn't need to.
She's not going to hurt any of us. I'll make sure of that.
He's right, Kiki, Talma whispered, squeezing her shoulder. She wasn't part of it. You know that.
He gently took the necklace from her hand and tossed it back to Vala as Caelith buried her head in his shoulder.
I don't want it to happen again,
she whispered in Elvish. She didn't realize Vala understood that language.
I don't want any of the people I care about to get hurt again.
No one's going to get hurt, he promised. We'll make sure of that. Trust me.
I want to trust you, but I can't trust her. Not after.
Kayla sighed and trailed off. He tucked a bit of her hair behind her ear.
Shh. It's okay. I know.
It'll be okay, though. We'll make sure this doesn't end badly. You're safe.
Are you still okay taking a watch, Caelith?
Varun asked softly. She nodded, sitting up to look at him.
Yeah. I can still take a shift.
Okay. You and Talma may take the first 3 hours. I'll take dead watch with Vala, the midnight shift.
So I'm with Beodin?
Damien asked. Yes. You and Beodin have the dawn shift, same length. If I'm right, the sun should rise around the middle of your watch.
Talmer shifted to get up, then leaned over to softly whisper to Caelith.
That dress is beautiful, but you should go change. It's going to get in your way, and I have a feeling you don't want to rip it.
She nodded. As Caelith got her bag and slipped off into the woods, the rest of the party began to settle in for the night.
Beodin kicked out the fire. Talmer, who had climbed back into the tree, blew out the oil lamp and settled down on his branch, bow ready.
Hope you know what you got yourself into, Dumarin,
Beodin said as he passed her.
Nothing I can't handle,
Vala answered. She hoped that was true.
I hope you're right.
The dwarf leaned against a tree next to her.
I don't know what we're in for, but this life ain't for pansies, and none of us gonna babysit you if you can't pull your weight. Keep up if you can.
This group,
Vala said, changing the subject.
Who are they?
I don't know, and I don't really care.
You've got to know something, Vala prompted. She wanted to know more about the people around her. She didn't like being with a group of complete strangers. That tended to create dangerous situations, especially for one of her race.
Not really,
Beodin shrugged. Vala raised an eyebrow. He sighed.
Fine. I don't know much about them, but I know a little. Caelith was some sort of nobility, I think. She acts like it, at least. She seems more suited to a noble life than roughing it as an adventurer. Talma was just a hunter, and Damien was a bard and a traveling merchant of some sort. He seems to know enough to survive out here, though, usually. Scales over there's an odd one, to be sure. I think he was a soldier until something happened to his clan. He might be stubborn and reckless, but he's loyal and a good fighter even though he's young.
What about you?
Me? I was a blacksmith. My shop got robbed, and I lost nearly everything I had. I didn't have enough money to get back on my feet, so after a bit of asking around, I was told about someone offering a lot of money for what they said was a simple job. Clearly, it's not just as simple as it sounded, but I need the money.
If Talma was just a hunter, then how did you know each other?
Who told you we know each other?
Look, I saw the fight this evening. It's not that hard to figure out that you two hate each other, and that type of animosity doesn't happen between two people who just met.
Beodin sighed, crossing his arms.
That was a long time ago, nearly 10 years now.
What happened?
Not your problem.
Maybe not, but I still want to know.
Too bad.
Will telling me hurt anything?
No, the dwarf admitted. It's a long story, though.
I'm pretty sure we have time. He sighed.
Fine. Do you want a summary, or do I need to give you details?
If you give me details, it'll help me understand what that was about earlier.
Fine. If it'll get you to shut up. Me and my family lived in a cave system called the Maldor Mines. It'd been operated by me father, Baylor Runesmith, me grandfather, Balder, and a handful of other experienced smiths for many years. After a while, though, the mine ran dry. The Runesmith family had been running the mines for many generations, and eventually, there was nothing left.
Vala tilted her head a bit, wondering what this had to do with Talmer, Beodin noticed.
Patience, girl! I'm getting to the point. You're the one who wanted details.
He sighed again, rolling his eyes.
My family and the other dwarven families that worked the mines packed up and began searching for somewhere new. We eventually found out about the caves of Lathloral. Supposedly, it was a rich but untapped mine deep in the Wood Elves' forest. We asked their king for permission to work on their land, but the negotiations took a wrong turn, and a fight broke out. A few of the guards were killed, and we were thrown off their land.
So you just became a sellsword after that?
Not immediately. My family kept traveling for a while, trying to find work. Most of them, including me, had been raised as miners and blacksmiths for their entire lives. They didn't want to do anything else, so they kept searching. After a bit, I broke off from my family and settled down as a blacksmith in one of the towns we passed. Then my shop was robbed, and I was left with no choice but to do stupid stuff like this for a living. That's all there is to tell.
He stood up and walked across the clearing, done with the conversation. Vala could tell he was holding something back, but she didn't go after him. She knew she wasn't going to get anything else out of him. He barely wanted to give that much, and he only did because he knew she'd keep pestering him if he didn't. She climbed into the large oak that shaded the clearing and settled into a small nook in the high branches. Beodin, Damien, and Varun had settled down around the tree roots. Less than a minute after Vala got comfortable, nestled in the branch, Caelith got back. She perched next to Talmer on the lowest branch, and they started talking quietly in Elvish. Vala closed her eyes and let herself fall into a trance. As a child, she'd learned how to slip into a state of light meditation. The trance let her rest, but she was usually alert enough to respond quickly if there was danger. She knew she wouldn't get quite as much rest as she would if she actually slept, but she didn't feel safe enough around a group of people she didn't know to let her guard down that much. Trying to relax as much as she could, she let silence fill her mind and blocked out the world.
"Hey, wake up."
Vala jerked awake, instinctively reaching for her daggers, but stopped when she saw who had woken her.
"It's your watch now," Talmer whispered.
"Varun is already up. I'm not sure if he ever was even asleep." She nodded, and he effortlessly made his way back down to his branch. Thunder rumbled in the distance, but the rain was gone and mist had begun to fill the clearing. She dropped to the ground, landing silently next to Varun. He glanced at her, giving her a little smile, then leaned against a tree, silently watching the clearing. She stood quietly, fingering the dragon claw on her necklace.
"There's a story behind that, isn't there?"
he asked quietly.
"What?"
she asked, even though she'd heard him.
"Your necklace," he clarified.
"It's just a little trinket I found," she lied. "It's nothing."
"Well, it doesn't seem to be nothing. We saw how you reacted when Caelith stole it."
She shot him a look.
"You were fine until she took it, so there's got to be a reason why."
When Vala didn't answer, he changed the subject.
"She doesn't mean it. Her parents were killed by Dúmerin assassins when she was a child. She's lost several friends to them also, so I can understand why she doesn't trust you."
Vala didn't know why he was telling her that, but she wasn't about to pass up free information.
"How old was she? What happened?"
"I don't know. She was very young, though. She told me that she was in the room when her parents died." He shook his head. "I probably shouldn't be telling you this, but I thought you should know." Vala nodded, fingering her necklace.
"What about the rest of the group?"
she asked, turning to look at him. He was freely telling her what she wanted to know, and she liked that. Whether he thought there was no harm in explaining or was just naive, she didn't know. She suspected it was the former, but she didn't care enough to try and figure it out.
How did you get involved with whatever this job is?
There's not a lot to tell about that. Just over 3 weeks ago, we all heard about a man asking for people to meet him to discuss a job. He was really vague about what he wanted, but a bunch of people still showed up. When he explained that he wanted us to investigate these disappearances, a lot of the bounty hunters and fighter types backed out, probably because they were hoping for some quick, easy money. All that were left were me, Orith, Beodin, Damien, and the other three. Talmer, Caelith, and Heldar had been traveling together for a while, so they took a while to warm up to us, but we managed to work together, except for the elf and dwarf. Vala nodded, glancing in Talmer's general direction. I think they have history together, but I don't know the details, Varun continued. They definitely know each other, and neither of them is happy about working together.
You don't say. They made that pretty clear this evening.
He didn't acknowledge her comment. Talmer, Caelith, and Heldar stayed a pretty tight-knit group, at least until tonight, when Heldar was killed. I don't know much about any of them, except Caelith.
What do you know about her?
He hesitated, not sure if he should keep talking about this, but he finally said, She was a princess, I believe, until her parents were killed. Then her uncle took over the kingdom. He appointed one of his sons as his heir, so Caelith had nothing left. She left her kingdom, acting as a healer in the town she stopped at. She took a portion of her parents' fortune before she left, so she doesn't need money, and she joined Talmer so she wouldn't have to travel alone. I think he's the one that taught her to shoot.
So, you've been, what, wandering around looking for clues or something since you were hired?
Kind of. We didn't start out with much to go on. We got in contact with someone who had seemingly found where they were holed up, and we just got a map showing that location this evening. Vala was silent for a while before asking,
What about you?
What about me?
I thought Thrakai stayed with their clans.
We usually do. He hesitated for a second, and she noticed it. She waited for him to continue, but he stayed silent.
Why are you here and not with your clan?
She pressed. It's complicated, he stammered, obviously not wanting to talk about it.
Could you two please shut up?
Damien asked, propping himself up on his elbows. His voice was low and rough from sleep. They had not been talking loudly at all, but the human had still noticed the conversation. He ran a hand through his messy hair.
I'm trying to sleep here.
He looked at them for a moment, yawned, then laid back down, using his balled-up cloak as a pillow. They stood quietly for a while, occasionally looking around the camp. Varun glanced up at the moon after a bit, and Valo followed his gaze. It was barely visible, only a thin line in the starry sky.
It's going to be dark tomorrow night, he whispered. No moon at all.
How long until our watch is over?
Vala asked, looking up at the stars.
Not long. The sun will rise in a little over 2 hours.
They stood silently again until Varun moved to wake the next guards. Vala climbed back up the tree, suddenly realizing just how tired she was. Down on the ground, she could hear Damien grumbling something about wanting to go back to sleep. Varun told him that he'd better not even think of napping during the watch. Vala glanced at the stars again, trying to relax enough to rest. She closed her eyes, trying to ignore Damien and Beodin talking below her. She let herself sink back into a trance, glad to get away for a few hours. Away from the world, away from her memories, and away from a dark past that she knew she would soon have to talk about. If she kept pressing the others to reveal things about themselves, someone would soon begin to do the same to her. The crystal had cracked, breaking away from his face, letting the air reach him again. He didn't know how much time had passed or how he was still alive. Feeling slowly returned to his body, bringing with it another wave of pain as he moved just the slightest bit. It felt like hot, searing lightning was coursing through his body, along with a painful, tingling sensation as if every part of his body had fallen asleep. He clenched his teeth, fighting back tears. This one was bad, but it would subside, just like all the others. Once his vision cleared, he looked down at his hands. They were still encased in the black, crystal-like substance. but it was growing brittle and fracturing in places. Through it, he thought he could see something that looked like glittering black scales on his forearms. A spike of fear shot through him. He squirmed, trying desperately to break free from both the crystal and the leathery strange, which got more stinging tingles. He could barely move, but he tried anyway, trying futilely to loosen his arms, then his feet. Even without the crystal, breaking free would have been next to impossible. He tried to move his hands and managed to crack the crystal holding them. Another wave of pain crashed over him, causing his whole body to jerk. His hands closed into fists without even knowing, shattering the crystal and driving sharp black shards into his palms and fingers. He didn't even notice. A drop of blood splattered onto the table. This wave was worse than the last one he'd fought through, and he had to fight hard to keep from crying out. Even when the wave of pain lessened, the feeling of being on fire remained. He spent the next minute just breathing, trying to focus through the pain that was now a constant part of him. Whatever had been done to him was taking its toll. He tried to twist his hands in the restraints, but only succeeded in slicing his wrists on a piece of crystal. He barely felt it. More blood stained the wood, but he ignored it. There was nothing he could do. He knew another wave of pain was mounting, and he braced for it. But it was no use. It felt 10 times worse than the last one, and no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't fight back a scream. The pain kept growing, getting more intense, and finally, he blacked out again.